Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. With John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you till 2 o'clock this morning. 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, that's our phone line as well. We're trying to be fan-friendly with you here this evening. Also, download the Radio.com app. We know that you're not in the car as often. What's the easiest, best way to listen to this station and this particular show? Do it through the Radio.com app. Download that today. Take that device, those smartphones, your Alexa speakers, your tablet, your Swatch Watch, your Commodore 64, your Palm Pilot, your Speak and Spell. I don't know what your device is. Just put it on something to make sure you catch us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all the different platforms there. As always, the best way to be interactive with our show. Really appreciate a whole lot of folks jumping on my Twitter here over this last week or so. Football season kind of does that, so appreciate it. Hit me up. It's at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He is in Midtown producing the show. Jarvis is in the building this evening at JarvisD90. At Jarvis D90. This is the Falcon Flyover, your nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons. All right, we're going to hear clips from everybody here in just a second. But you know the other sad part about that onside kick deal, too? That, I'm not sure if guys were talking about this. You know they called a timeout to set that up, right? The Falcons called a timeout to come out and do that. No. Hold on. No, I said that right. They called a timeout to come out and do that. That's why I almost think that was a rib on all of us. That had to be a rib. Which, if you don't know, the term rib in wrestling is like practical jokes in the back. When the boys pull a practical joke on somebody, that's called a rib. If you call a timeout and you still don't know what to do, that's got to be a rib, isn't it? Anyway. But listen, hey, you know, well, you know, we got, I'm going to do my Snitker voice for these guys. Well, we got 14 games to go. You know, it's a long season. You know, we got to, we were just a play away. You know, we're just a play away, you know, right now and all this kind of stuff. I mean, all right, let's hear post game from everybody. Let's start with Dan. Here's Dan talking about we didn't make the big plays.
At the end, it turned to be a couple of big plays, you know, that turned the tide in the game. That's usually how it goes, and those are the ones you never know when they're going to come up, but you've got to go nail it when they happen.
Yeah, hey Dan, you got to go coach it when they happen too, though. See, this is the thing I always hear this kind of bumper sticker stuff. Well, you know, big play, we got to go grab it. Yeah, it starts by you coaching. Going for two, coming out of the half, onside kicking. Yeah, those are all big things that go on that are direct results of what you can't do. Well, big play, yeah. How many big plays did Matt make for you yesterday, coach? I'm laughing at some of these people with Tank for Trevor. Christ, what more do you want Matt Ryan to do? He's done everything you could ask him to do to try to win football games. And his coach says, hold on, Matt. Let me snatch that away from you. Let me have Hayden Hurst and Jaden Graham backing up on an onside kick. After I called a timeout. Hey, Matt, let's go for two when we're up by three touchdowns. Why? I don't know. Let's go for two anyway. Because we're all gas, no brakes. Woo, look at us. We're big balls Willie with how we play football. Woo! What's that? Oh, we're 0-2 in the standings on ESPN? Oh, okay. Well, at least we're big balls Willie, and we go for it on fourth down, and we go for two, and look at us. And the Bears loose, and no gas breaks, and we're, you know, we're Hunger Games index, and we're going to do right longer and embrace the suck, and hey, yeah, it's all great, yeah. What's that? Oh, we're 0-2? Oh. What's that? We can't coach the same. Oh, okay. I didn't want to yell. I told myself I wasn't going to yell because my voice will go out of me. Here's Dan talking about you have to learn lessons from a game like this.
We're a resilient group. You know, we're going to put the work in to make sure that there's a lesson learned from this moment, from this
game.
Hold on.
Stop. Stop. Jarvis. Stop. Jarvis. Stop the clip. Resilient group. What the hell are you talking about? What resilient group? You can't win a game to save your life. What are you resilient about? What are you talking about? Resilient to what? Losing? That's the culture of this team right now. What are you resilient on?
We're resilient.
Oh, we're a resilient bunch. Huh?
We're resilient.
What are you talking about? Jeez. The culture is losing. That's their only resiliency that they have. They're resilient against winning. That's their resiliency. Week in, week out, we're going to find a new way to lose. You betcha. And we won't just lose. We'll do it in historic fashion. What resiliency?
We're
to
resilient,
what?
You know.
Jesus, what are you resilient to, Dan?
We're going to put the work in to make
See,
sure.
They just say these dumb things. Just throw stuff out there to say dumb things. And this owner brought that guy back for this. He brought him back for all this.
That there's a lesson
We're resilient.
Learned from this moment, from this game. And I love the energy that we came out with. But in this game, it has to take the whole time, the whole four quarters, the
okay.
whole focus of everybody.
Hey, Dan.
And,
hey,
that was a tough lesson.
Dan, my hand's raised. Dan, what are you learning? The same things he did in year one. Remember the San Francisco game in year one? He couldn't coach then. He can't coach now. Do you understand what I say that when that guy was the MVP of the league, that's why we were in the Super Bowl. Oh, but Dan's got brotherhood and all this. Do you understand now when I say that was never Dan's, never Gus Bradley's defense in Seattle? Oh, but he had Richard Sherman, all those guys. So, it wasn't his. It wasn't his before he got there. It hadn't been his since he left. And by the way, they haven't missed a beat, have they, in Seattle? They're 2-0. They haven't missed a beat, have they? How much roster turnover have they put together since their Super Bowl? They don't have any of those guys left. And here they are, 2-0. And I got news for you. They're a legitimate Super Bowl contender in the NFC. Do you see now? Is it crystal clear to everybody out there? Is it not fogged up like Andy Reid's mask anymore? All right, here's Dan talking about the defense was big early on.
We definitely challenged the defense if we could, you know, find ways to create, you know, some takeaways and create some momentum in that space. And so having the ability to do that at the start of the game, you know, to go plus three, you know, in the first half, that was a big factor in this game. And so not having that carry over into the second half, you know, that hurt us for sure.
They were plus four in the game. How much more do you think you got to have, for God's sakes? What's that stat? Plus four in turnovers and 30 points and no teams ever lost? Yeah. I mean, again, they made enough plays. Did they sack the quarterback enough? No. Yeah, there's things I can nitpick with you. But they had the game won. But they do dumb coaching things. That point that they didn't get came back to haunt them. Not covering the onside came back to haunt them. They've been outscored 28-0 in the third quarter. That's haunted them for 2 weeks now. Here's Dan on his thoughts on the onside kick.
From my viewpoint, looked like a slow roller, and in that space, we've got to go get it. And so I'll have a you know, better view of it tonight when I watch it. But clearly, they got to wait for it to go to 10. But you know, for us, we got to go get it in that space too.
Okay, we got to go get it. Well, why was everybody backing up, Dan? If we got to go get it, is that our new bumper sticker? Got to go get it. Got to go get it. Because the Bears lose. Well, then why'd everybody back up? How could you have said to your team, we got to go get it, and then guys back up? Here's Dan talking about we'll be better from this experience.
Loss like tonight, it's hard to process. You can't believe it. You're frustrated. And so we'll get to the truth of it, and then we'll get right back to work, knowing that there's a lesson to take from it, and we'll apply it moving forward. But, yeah, this one hurts, and we've got to find our spaces to go finish, and when those moments come up, to go nail them.
Yeah, the lesson was, if there's anybody confused about whether or not you should have been back with this franchise for this season, they're not anymore. That's the lesson that's been learned, is how silly it looks now for the owner of this team to have kept everybody in place. What in the last 2 years and two games tells you that this team is ready to just turn it on and let's go get the playoffs? It's a team with lots of talent that just can't get out of its own way. Folks, I'm telling you, it's an all-hands-on-deck organizational problem. Here's Matt Ryan talking about we need seven instead of three.
You got to make them pay. You know, when you get short field opportunities, you got to come away with touchdowns. We were okay, just not good enough. And, you know, that's something that we have to do better moving forward. You know, when we get our chances, when our D creates turnovers, you know, we've got to capitalize. So that's something we can do better as an offense.
Okay, fine. They went on the road to an NFC divisional foe and scored 39 points. You're not supposed to lose. Yeah, I wish we had a touchdown here instead of a field goal. But they did it. Did we not, Jarvis, when we broke this thing down Friday, did we not say instead of 6-0 after three possessions, they need to be 14-0 after three possessions?
Yep.
And they went out and did it, did they not?
They did it.
They did exactly what we talked about. Exactly. Yeah, not every drive will get you 7 points. But they had 39 on the road. You're not supposed to lose in the NFL with 39 on the road. Oh. Here's Matt talking about we didn't know what to expect from the Cowboys defense.
Julio's kind of the X factor. How are they going to, you know, account for where he's at? And they basically had two high safeties over him the entire day. And so created some great opportunities for some other guys, but we just had to find a way to get it done.
mean, what are you supposed to say? What are you supposed to say? Matt goes out there, four touchdowns, no picks. Jarvis, how many yards did Matt have for the game? Had to be around 300, right? I know at one point in the fourth quarter, he was at 250 already. I'm guessing he was somewhere 300. 273 with four. So your quarterback gave you 273 yards with four touchdowns and no picks. Took one sack, didn't fumble, nothing. That's the guy I'm supposed to get mad at, huh? That's the guy some people want me to get mad at, is that guy. All right, very quickly, let's hear from Calvin Ridley. We need sevens instead of threes.
We want to finish all of those. You know, when we get a turnover, we want to put points, either some points up. We just gotta be better right there. That's all I can say, man. We just gotta be better.
They did exactly what they needed to do early on in that game. We made a direct point of talking about this facet on Friday. It can't be 6-0 in the first quarter after a couple of possessions. What'd they do? 20-0 after the first quarter. Did I mention that they've been outscored 28-0 in the third quarter of games so far this season? Okay. Anyway, all right, when we get back as we head toward the top of the hour. No need to get upset over something that was never going to be. I'll explain what that means coming up next. It is the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on this early Tuesday morning. Sports Radio Night on the Game on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back with you here on the John Chuckery Show, headed toward the top of the hour. Amy Lawrence will be coming up next. John and Hugh coming up at 6 o'clock for you in the morning. 404-741-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. That is our phone line as well if you want to be a part of the show. Radio.com app, that's how you listen to us when you're on the go. Social media at 929 The Game. Excuse me. At JMCH316 on Twitter. At JMCH316 on Twitter. He is at JarvisD90. So the Braves did win tonight. 5-4 over that scrappy Marlins team. However, there was a piece of Braves news that got funneled out there before the game. Turns out that the $18 million Cole Hamels experiment is now officially over. As Hamels had tightness in his shoulder, has to go to IR, and supposedly AA has already petitioned about him not being on the playoff roster. How'd that work out? You know, it's almost like, I don't know, Jarvis, what, February or so when they signed Cole Hamels, there was a guy on the radio station that said this is not going to work out. There's no reason of giving $18 million to Cole Hamels. You'll be lucky if he gives you much of anything. Well, he gave him one start, 3 1/3 inning for, what, almost $7 million, right? $6.7 million, I think, is what the prorated amount was for the year. Just over, you know, 37%, so $18 million. $6 million would have been a third. And then the other 7%, so another, like, $700,000. That's a good gig if you can get it. Now, here's a couple of things, though, that I also want to make sure that we're crystal clear on as we're headed toward the playoffs, okay? Number one, Cole Hamels on the roster makes no difference as to the expectations of this team, okay? Because Cole Hamels is not going to be here doesn't mean one iota of lowered expectation is allowed. Because, listen, if you're going to tell me that how good Ozuna, how good Travis d'Arnaud, those signings were, and I'm with you, okay, and then say, well, you know, it didn't work out with Cole, that's fine. But you don't get to lower expectations. You can't tell me that how good those two guys were as a sign and then tell me that Cole Hamels, oh, we may not win the World Series now. Yeah, you can still win the World Series. Once again, want to make sure we're crystal clear on, as well, the Braves are as talented as anybody in Major League Baseball. Once again, I want to make sure we're crystal clear that if the Braves falter, it will not be because they don't have enough talent. It will not be because they just don't have enough players. I don't want to hear about pitching. I don't want to hear about starters. I don't want to hear any of your nonsense. Go give that to some other show, because that won't fly here. You could make moves. You could do whatever you wanted. And you can't tell me how good Darno and Ozuna are, but then try to say that the expectation, because it's World Series or bust, folks. Anything less than the World Series is a disappointment. I don't care about pandemics. I don't give a damn about expanded playoffs. I don't care about any of that stuff you throw out there. That's malarkey. Either you're in it to win it or fold the franchise. Pick one or the other. Either you're in it to win it or fold it. So, look, I'm not mad at Cole Hamels. The Braves were foolish enough. To me, that was never a risk worth taking. There are risks worth taking. Marcell Ozuna for $18 million? Okay, I'm not mad about that. I didn't think it was a great signing, but I didn't think it was terrible. Cole Hamels, I thought was a terrible signing. Jarvis, did we not have moments about that too, even on the station? We had like a promo, and we had moments online and everything about all that.
Sure did.
I remember that when I said that about Cole Hamels. That was never a risk worth taking. I would have never have taken that risk. Of all the guys that I could have taken a risk on, I would never have taken a risk on Cole Hamels. And then when I heard people selling the idea of he's a former World Series MVP, and I have to sit back and realize that you have to go back to the George Bush administration when he was a World Series MVP. Hell, at that point, why not just see if you could dig up Don Larson's body from the grave? And hell, how about this? Dig up Roy Halladay. He threw a postseason no-hitter, too. Dig somebody up like that. If you're going to tell me about days gone by. But it doesn't change one inch of expectations. It's World Series or bust. Not get through a couple of rounds. Not kind of hang around. It's World Series or bust. Write it down. If you got a pen and a pad and some paper, write it down. Because that's what it is at this point. It's World Series or bust. Anything less than that is a disappointment. So, not shocked at all about the news. Doesn't really matter. You know, they'll figure it out. What did I say? What's important is getting Max Fried back and healthy. I could care less about Cole Hamels. I didn't care about when he was coming back. I didn't care about his start. Remember when I told you, don't get too high, don't get too low. Wasn't even worth investing 1 ounce of emotion into the guy. And he'll go up there. Guess what rotation he's now part of? He's now part of a rotation that includes Cole Hamels, Kenshin Kawakami, Derek Lowe, Mike Hampton. He's now in that group, is where Cole Hamels is. He's not in there with Fried and Soroka. You know, hell, he's not even in the John Burkett, Russ Ortiz, Denny Nagel group. He's in the Derek Lowe, Kenshin Kawakami. And I said it then, it wasn't worth the risk. And I believed it, because it wasn't. There are some things that are worth risking gambles on, okay? And you're not going to hit every one of them right. It's not that. But is a guy worth putting out the kind of money? He wasn't. Hell, I'd rather had Dallas Keuchel brought back than Cole Hamels, because at least I know Keuchel is healthy enough to pitch. And while he's not very good, and he's no bulldog like everybody tried to say, oh, he's a bulldog. Is he? Oh, five innings is a bulldog, huh? Five innings, you know, with three runs is a bulldog. Okay, all right. Then I guess my definition of a bulldog is different, you know. I guess, you know, my and this is not B-U-L-L-D-A-W-G. We're talking the more traditional B-U-L-L-D-O-G. Yeah, we're not doing the dog D-A-W-G, no. Just the regular D-O-G part of all of it. But a big win for the Braves tonight. You know, they're trying to get that number two seed potentially. We'll see how that shakes out. Magic number's down to three now for the division. No matter what happens the rest of this week with the Marlins, they won't be behind. They can't be behind in the division, so they can't get swept. Excuse me, in the division here. So listen, playoff baseball, believe it or not, it's going to be here in what, a week? We're about a week or so away from playoff baseball happening, a week and a half, I guess. So it's going to come quickly, like everything else has come this year. It's going to come quickly. But there's nothing about the news today that tells you any expectation has changed in any sort of – because, again, I don't want to hear about starting pitching. It's not like the Braves weren't able to make moves, okay? You rolled the dice on a guy you should have never rolled the dice on to start with. That's what's amazing to me is so many Braves fans were so set on the, oh, we're going to get Cole Hamels back at some point. You watch. Okay. For what? What are you going to get him back for? Yeah, but he's, you know, he's a World Series MVP. Okay. What are you getting Cole Hamels back for? Yeah, but, I mean, that's another starter we'll have in the playoffs. You sure? So I never for one second did you hear me on the Cole Hamels train. Thought it was a bad signing at the time. Turned out to be a bad signing. But like I said, the problem is there are risks that are worth taking. There are some guys, though, that just aren't worth taking the risk on. He wasn't a guy worth taking the risk on. Why? I don't know. He was banged up all the second half of last season, had all kinds of issues trying to stay healthy, and then when he tried to pitch through, wasn't effective at all. You know, had some good moments in the first half of the season, but he hasn't done anything since then. Nothing. Nothing. And he won't. In all honesty, don't you think Cole Hamels should retire at this point? Or does he just want to be Jamie Moyer and throw 48 miles an hour, you know, at 51 years old? Maybe that's what he wants to be. I don't know. So, but listen, Braves had plenty of opportunity to beef up their starting rotation, to go make the moves that they needed to make. And I guess now what they brought Bryce Wilson up. Well, okay, all right. Now, the good news is in the first round, you only need three starters. So we know for sure that Fried and Ian Anderson, that's two of your three. Oh, what the other good news about this, too, is the fact that now we don't have to worry about Cole Hamels pitching game one of the playoffs, right? And as far-fetched as you think that could be, let Cole Hamels have pitched two good games his final two outings and tell me that there wouldn't have been a chance for the manager to say, yeah, you know what, he matches up well with the guys that they're going up against, whatever team it is, Marlins or Reds or Giants or whoever out there. So, now, I did want to say, too, one of the things that you saw with the Marlins tonight was how they play baseball. They don't hit a lot of home runs, but they steal bases, take extra bases on singles and things like that. I'm more convinced than ever they've got to go back to a lineup that has Dansby 9, Acuna 1, Ozzy 2, and put those speed guys. And you've seen it over the last few days. You know, you saw Ronald scoring from first on a single, on a double. You see when these guys get going around the bases, they make a lot of things happen. Ozzy, Dansby, Acuna, Ozuna, those guys do a lot of good things on the bases. I hope they get back to some of that. All right, we'll talk some more Falcons with you. I know you want your pound of flesh, but I'm just here to tell you it doesn't solve anything. We can be fan-friendly as well as we head toward the top of the hour. And Amy Lawrence, John Chuck, we show on Sports Radio, 910 The Game, and on the Radio.com app.
Got to be careful of this little dribbler down the middle now.
Yeah. And the ball is recovered by Dallas. The ball spun around. Atlanta looked at it. It rolled across, and Dallas got it.
Oh, Wes Durham on the call there. Falcons Radio Network, of course. Falcons lose 40-39 yesterday. And, yeah. Now, by the way, it is John Chuck Rochelle hanging out with you till the top of the hour. Amy Lawrence will be coming up next. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of. You can get us on the phone line as well if you want to be part of the show. Also, radio.com apps, I listen to us when you're on the go. Social media at 929 The Game. Hit me up. It's at JMCH316 on Twitter. He's at Jarvis39. Appreciate the several folks jumping on the Twitter machine and following me. Appreciate all of that this evening. What was I going to say? I lost my train of thought on that. Oh, this, by the way, I heard some people say that this was as heartbreaking as the Super Bowl. Come on, folks. I mean, you know, nothing will ever replace that heartache of the Super Bowl. Because right now, that was our only chance to have that kind of shining moment. Maybe ever. I don't know. I hate to say it that way, but... And look, I said earlier in the show that I feel... Yeah, who I really feel bad for, I feel bad for Matt, I feel bad for Julio, I feel bad for Grady, I feel bad for Debo, I feel bad for Jake Matthews, for Alex Mack. You know, they have plenty of talent to go out and win plenty of football games, and they just don't get coached well, they don't get put into positions to succeed at times. So many things about it that just get so frustrating. And the discussion that I had last night with people on the Twitter machine was the fact of, I fully understand why everybody wants Dan gone. But nothing's going to get better this year. This is the culture. They need to transform the entire franchise at this point. This is not just a, if we get rid of the coach, we're in good shape and we'll move on. No, it's a lot more than that. It's a lot more involved than just getting rid of the coach and we go on from there. This is a flawed football organization, and it starts at the top. You know, Rich McKay failed his last couple of years as a GM that led us into what was 2007 and got a promotion for it. Got moved up the food chain. Not down. He didn't get moved down the food chain by failing as a general manager to run the football team. And you can say, well, it's not his fault for Mike and all that. Yeah, but he hired Bobby Petrino. He drafted Jamal Anderson. That was all his. He was here for all of that. And what happened? He got promoted. And I really thought, and I said at the time, I mean, unfortunately didn't have a radio show at that point, but I said I was amazed that Thomas lasted when Mike Smith got let go. It surprised me that they kept Thomas. Now, that move hasn't bothered me, but it's obvious now, though, that it's time to just clean house for this organization. And I'm not talking about getting rid of Matt and Julio and some of these guys and such. I'm talking about you've got to get football personnel in here that can take what we have and go get it done. Take what we have and go win with it. And this should be an attractive franchise for GMs and coaches and things like that to want to come to because you have an established quarterback. And, yeah, I understand he's a little bit older. But in today's NFL – You see it every week that guys can go do all sorts of things, okay, at older ages. I get that. You still got Julio. You've got Calvin Ridley, who's just amazing, by the way. I mean, I don't know how much more impressive, you know, Calvin Ridley can be. He's fantastic. I said on Twitter the other night, last night, he's got a nose for the end zone unlike about anybody that we've seen. I mean, maybe Andre Rison. I mean, we haven't had that many wide receivers, at least since I've been here, since 93, that you felt like had a real nose for the end zone. He's got a real nose for the end zone. He's got a real nose for it. So he's been nothing short of fantastic. And listen, we can critique that pick and things like that, but that turned out to be a very good pick, and he's a definite important key piece for this franchise. No question about it. But it really is time to hit the reset button from a front office standpoint. Coach, general manager, president. I mean, honestly. You know, I mean, it really is time. And that's why I say it's not just getting rid of Dan. You know, if you want to get, like I said, I understand the emotion of getting rid of Dan right now. But getting rid of Dan right now only satisfies your primal urge to just feel like that there's some kind of accountability. And as I said earlier, the time to get rid of Dan was in January. That was the time to get rid of Dan. Was then. If you're going to make a move on all that, that was the time. Now doesn't get you anything for getting rid of Dan. You can say, oh, it's 14 games, this, that, and the other. Doesn't mean anything. This team kind of is what it is right now. Make do. But in this offseason, and I would like to think that the owner of this team sees it as well. Because you would think at some point Arthur's going to say, I can't keep spending this kind of money and not get the results that I want. I can't keep having talented players that come up short. I've got the best quarterback I've ever had in the history of the franchise, best wide receiver, a guy who may be the best defensive tackle when all is said and done. You know, I've got all this, that, and the other, and it's not coming together. Why is it not coming together? Why is it we're not picking enough good players, putting enough talent around, making enough good coaching decisions? Why is none of that stuff happening? Why is none of that coming together? So I'm hoping, and I hate to say that we waste another year of Matt, but we're probably going to waste another year of Matt. Probably going to waste another year. And you know, I want to believe that we can turn these things around. And look, I don't know what the record's going to be the first half of the year. I know this. Their first four games of the year, you know, we talked about the schedule. First four and last four are going to be rather difficult. That's where the tough part of the schedule is. Good news is that they're going to get into, you know, stretches where in the middle of the year where you're going to get Carolina and, you know, some of these teams that aren't so good. But then all of a sudden you look and say, okay, well, the Raiders just beat the Saints tonight, so you got to play the Raiders, you know. So, we'd like to think, but nowadays with the way that we coach, I mean, hell, everybody's tough. There doesn't feel like there's any kind of layup games that this franchise has right now. Doesn't feel like anybody that this franchise has is a layup out there. So you want to believe that the middle of the schedule, you know, and that's why you needed to hang on, at least kind of hang on through the first four games, you know, of the year. Hang on during that stretch so that you can get to the middle of the schedule and things get a little bit easier at least. But now it's like, I don't know. What tells you that we can coach up somebody enough to get them to, you know, to get one of these teams that maybe isn't so good? Like, how are we going to slow down Christian McCaffrey? Right? There's a lot of those kinds of things that just, you know, start creeping up now all of a sudden. So, and we're not going to get any answers this week. I mean, from the standpoint of coaches aren't going to say anything. I mean, what are you going to say? I mean, I hear people talking about some of the questions. Again, what are you supposed to say? I mean, if you don't know what the guy that coaches this team every week is by now, it's never going to come through. You're never going to learn it now. If you don't know what it is by now, there's nothing that's going to fix that at this point. Nothing that's going to change it. It's the same types of mistakes over and over and over again. And that's where it just gets so frustrating, is that we see the same things repeated over and over and over. Week in, week out. We talk about game management. We talk about coming out of halftime. It's all those things. How does this team get outscored 28-0 in the third quarter of games this year? 28-0 they've been outscored in the third quarter of games. That's completely unacceptable. I mean, just crazy to think about. So I don't know. I mean, I get frustrated, and I'm like y'all. I'm with y'all, and I understand. But I don't. Number one is I don't think Arthur's firing Dan right now. And we played the comment at the top of the show. I don't think there's anything about that comment that tells you that they're looking at making any kind of decision right now. Because look. He spent all offseason, months and months and months and months, selling us on the idea of, hey, continuity, and we got to do this and we got to do that. Continuity, and look how hard they played, and we feel like we're going in the right direction, and blah, 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 blah. Feeling like it's all the same thing. So, two games in, think about how much credibility Arthur loses by going out and saying we're going to fire our coach after you spent the whole offseason talking about continuity. All right, be time for the Love TKO. Going to wrap things up here. Hand off to Amy Lawrence coming up next. It is John Chuckwood Show, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and on the radio.com app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.